Welcome to Exercising Your Faith, where we build wisdom in people's lives so they can move forward with purpose in God's plan. Whether your struggle is personal, professional, or spiritual, we look to provide the guidance necessary to reconnect you with your faith and propel you on a path of strength in mind, body, and spirit. It's time to exercise your patience, endurance, and faith with your hosts, Dave and James.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of the EYF Podcast with Dave and James, exercising our faith today. Today is going to be show number 100, and that's a big deal. And for this big deal, we have a guest on here today that has got an awesome set of messages. Really just not one, James, but he's got a lot.
Yeah, he's a dynamic person for sure.
Yeah, and so the person we're referencing is Vernon Fox. Vernon is a former NFL great. He's one of those guys that, you know, we sat and we've watched on Sundays and wondered and amazed ourselves, like, how can somebody run into somebody at 20 miles an hour and get back up? But Vernon did it and made a career out of it. And as a result of that, he's got a lot of great things to share, but not only from there, but his faith, because Vernon's really known for who he is as a Christian and who he is in God. And so welcome, Vernon, to the EYF Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor, and I'm excited to be here with you guys today.
No, thank you, sir. And so, you know, one of the things we were talking about earlier, and in the purpose of our podcast is to try to provide encouragement. We try to be a light in the darkness, if you will. And right now, as you know, there's a whole lot of things going on, and people are really searching right now for answers about life. And if someone were to ask you, sir, you know, why do you follow Jesus? You know, what would you say to those people?
You know, when I associate my faith and my relationship with Christ, it boils down to having a sense of hope in the midst of a hopeless world. You know, Christ offers us a peace that surpasses all understanding. And, you know, it's difficult to understand that in the times that we, you know, kind of exist under during this time in particular. And my faith is the thing that sustains me in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of just calamity and things around us just seeming so, you know, broken apart. I find the solace and the peace that only comes through my relationship with Christ. And, you know, that's grown over time. And I just couldn't imagine living in this world without that hope. It is the one true hope and the thing that, you know, sustains and covers our heart at all times. And so for me, it really is the true essence of who I am, you know, just not just as a man, but in every capacity by which I operate, whether that's as a father, as a, you know, someone that seeks to motivate and inspire people, you know, that is all my why is my relationship with Christ.
Okay. Now, has it always been that way? I mean, a lot of people, some of our guests have what we call redemption stories or restoration stories. Have you always been a Christian, or was there a seminal moment in your life where, you know, it just all became clear and you accepted Christ?
You know, I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home where that influence was present, and I was able to be exposed to the things of Christ and to understand the Word of God at an early age. Much like many teenage boys who were, you know, star athletes and had a chance to kind of go and play college sports, I really was probably not the most mature at that age. I left home at 17 years old, and in my head, I can tell the truth and say that I told myself, you know, I'm going to live life now, and I'm going to get out there and experience college life. And it was like God had a leash on me. I could only go so far, and I'm one of those testimonies of Proverbs 22:6, where the scripture says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And it's like I could only go so far, and I always felt out of place. I always felt like a lifestyle that I was seeking to live was certainly not the one that I was called to. And God reclaimed me. I recommitted my life at 18. I was surrounded by a great group of young men who had like-minded focus, and, you know, we're seeking to live for Christ, and God put some influential people in my pathway. And, you know, from that point on, I started running on this journey. I would have never imagined in a million years that I'd be, you know, an ordained minister, or I'd be preaching the word of God, or, you know, having the opportunity to influence and impact lives for the kingdom. But certainly was in the wheelhouse of what God had in store for me for my purpose.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Vernon, you had mentioned growing up, I heard you mention somewhere else that, you know, things came to you very easily. You know, you were obviously very gifted athletically, and you said things came to you easily with education. What was your first big challenge in your life?
I'd say my first big challenge probably was, and most people would say, well, that's not, you know, a big challenge. But for me, I had experienced a tremendous amount of success growing up. You know, again, I grew up in a stable home. Both my mother and my father were present. I mean, they've been married over 40 years now.
Wow.
To this day. And, you know, so I had a strong presence in the home, you know, great influences. You know, my dad was my hero. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was a great father. He was a provider. He was a great example. My mother was probably responsible for kind of steering me in the direction of the things of God. And I just had a good life growing up. And, you know, I experienced a lot of success athletically. It was definitely an area that God gifted me. I was very active. School was something that was, the importance of school was stressed in my home. And so I applied myself in the same, you know, intensity level that I approached the courts and the fields with, I did in the classroom. And so, you know, when I say it was easy, I think it's in part because I applied myself, and, you know, I just experienced a lot of success. And, you know, college kind of was the same story. You know, I had to transition. I had to learn and grow and kind of move into a position. But, you know, just like every other thing up until that point, I kind of worked myself into a position of success. And what that did was it really actually kind of tainted me, just to be honest. I always tell people that success can be a dangerous thing. And for myself, I think I really started to become prideful. And I started to think that all of the success was because of, you know, my talents or gifts or because of what I was doing. And God used a very instrumental moment to humble me. And that moment was when I did not get drafted into the NFL after, wow, you know, being expected to do so. And again, that, you know, when I look at that now, it seems silly for me to say that that was kind of like the most pivotal moment of change for me. But what it did was it really humbled me. It got me to a place where I recognized that, you know, everything that had happened up until that point wasn't because of me, but it was because of God's grace, because of his favor and the opportunities that he had afforded me. And, you know, so I kind of took a back door into the NFL, but that moment was the most crucial moment in my life, looking back hindsight, because it was the moment that, you know, I kind of died to self and I realized that, you know, God was in control of my life. And it really just changed my focus, and it drew me closer to him than ever. And this new level of intimacy and relationship with Christ just kind of matured and grew in that moment, which felt like failure for me. And I quickly learned that it was a part of God's ordained will and purpose, and really just to kind of capture my heart.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. I you know, a lot of people spend their whole life searching for purpose and searching for meaning. And you discovered at the age, I'm assuming 22, just that's when you would probably most likely completed your college career, and you're expecting to get drafted, and you're, like you say, you're dealing with the issues of pride and self-sufficiency. But to learn at 22 that it isn't all about you, that was probably, you know, you might have minimized it by saying, you know, you didn't get drafted in the NFL, but God used that to show you that you weren't the end-all, be-all. And imagine if everybody else could figure that out.
Right.
You know, how much trouble could we avoid in our lives, right?
Absolutely. And for myself, I mean, you know, the truth of the matter is this: having operated in ministry for, you know, over 10 years now, you know, I've encountered a lot of people that God has allowed me to, you know, minister to, and they've had to learn those lessons a lot more difficult ways. You know what I mean?
Right.
Losing their families, or, you know, lost loved ones, you know, just tragic moments in their lives led them to recognizing, you know, this lesson that I was able to learn, like you said, 22, 23 years old. But yeah, it really just changes your perspective. I often say that, kind of the way we interact in life and how we go about our everyday, existence really comes from a vantage point or a set of lenses that we wear. And those lenses are developed through our experiences, our upbringing, our exposures. And, you know, for me, it really was just like God just put a new set of lenses on for me. And I was able to see life from a different perspective. And, you know, it was like I just became a servant in that moment. You know, I had been self-serving my whole life, and I was just seeking success and wanting to acquire all of this just for me. And all of a sudden, God just kind of flipped the script on me. And it was the worst, best thing that could have ever happened to me.
Yeah, I could imagine that.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, we were just talking. I mean, obviously, we don't have the, you know, the athletic skills that you did. But, man, you know, to be in the NFL, I would imagine you're the best of the best. You're the you are the five-star recruit of everybody's five-star recruit. But when you get to the NFL, everybody's a five-star recruit. Yeah. And I can only imagine how humbling of an experience that would have been.
Yeah, most definitely. It really was a wake-up call for me. You know, something else happened in that moment that probably opened the door in an area that I hadn't experienced up until that point. Because of the success, you know, I probably was a little more high-minded than I should have been. And when I didn't get drafted, and just the journey and naturally just being exposed to the business side of football, I lost my confidence. It was really difficult for me to kind of get myself in a place where, you know, I could go out and compete and feel good about myself. Because really for me, the way I processed not getting drafted was someone basically just saying, you're not good enough.
Right.
And that journey just became difficult. It was like every single day, you know, I had to kind of reevaluate my self-confidence and, you know, really fight to try and believe in myself and show myself that I could do it. You know, God kind of gave me something over the years. I'm finishing up a book right now. It's called The Three Pieces to Success. And the third piece of that success puzzle is that faith is essential. And something that I learned in that journey was that, you know, not only, obviously, most importantly, having faith in God, who is our all sufficiency, but having trust and faith in yourself. Like, it was something that it was crazy that I just came face to face with this moment where, you know, I had never struggled like that. And it was like I opened a Pandora's box, because from that point on, like, I struggled with, like, believing in myself and having to, you know, and God just really worked on me in that area. And I think it was a stripping away. You know, again, I probably, you know, thought too much of myself leading up into that point.
Right.
But it definitely was something that, you know, that humbling experience was something that really kind of transformed my character, I'd say.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point, because I think a lot of people struggle with that just in our average daily lives, that we're not good enough. You know, like, this is an amazing God. And, you know, they struggle with that relationship that, you know, we're not good enough. We struggle with condemnation. And so, like you say, we got to remind ourselves of God's grace and unmerited favor, that he just loves us no matter what our circumstances are. And so I think that's important for our listeners to hear.
Yes, sir. It certainly is. And I think one of the things that God wants to get us to, ultimately, is that our dependence is upon him. And sometimes, again, that comes through some tough circumstances. You know, I believe God will allow us to experience loss. At times he will allow us to kind of go through some rough points, but there's a building that happens during that process. I think that's what James is kind of talking about in James chapter 1 when he says, count it joy when you face trials of many types.
Right.
You know, for you know that the testing of your faith, that it produces perseverance or patience. And, you know, no one wants to go through what it takes in order to develop that. But, you know, when you do acquire it and when you do recognize, you know, where we are in proportion to where God is and who he is and what he is in our life, I think it really just, it takes a load off of your back because the pressure's not on you. You know what I mean? Now we are trusting and dependent upon him.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Vern, if it's okay, I have a question. This has been on my mind here since we've been talking. You know, I heard you speaking the other day, and it was this message about, you know, it's the verses from, you know, be still and know that I am God. And you related to the idea of red light, green light. For those of us old enough to remember playing that game, you know when to stop and when to go. And I just thought that you did a great job of explaining that, because I think that's what a lot of us Christians struggle with, is like, is God telling me to move, or am I supposed to be still? Can you kind of explain that message? I know it's a long message, but, you know, just briefly explain what you were talking about there.
Yeah. You know, it's something that it's an area I'm still maturing in, you know, to be honest. And I think that's one of the ways that we can best help people is by our transparency and honesty, you know, not to pretend as though we have it all together.
Right.
And, you know, come across that we're just so polished and perfect. You know, I am very honest when I minister, because, you know, I think that really helps people. And for me, that's an area that I'm still developing in. I'll share quickly. In 2013, I officially retired in 2010. I trained for a year. And I wanted to get back into the NFL. And once I realized that wasn't going to happen, and God really kind of started to give me a peace about moving forward in my life, the next step was like figuring out, okay, where do I go from here? And I didn't want to go into coaching. I didn't want to go into broadcasting, anything like that. And so I kind of just piddled around trying to find my way, bumping my head up against the wall. And in 2013, I was presented with an opportunity from a large Christian school here in Las Vegas, high school. They offered me a head coaching position, and it's not something I wanted to do. I just, again, I didn't want to be locked down to something where I'd have to report every day and kind of just, you know, modify my plans. And I quickly realized that God, that was kind of what he was calling me into. And the more time I spent praying about it and thinking about it, and, you know, I even fasted like before I made a decision, and my wife and I just spent time laying before God. And when he confirmed that's what he wanted me to do, you know, I can't say that my heart was all in. Like I started doing it, but I just, it's not what I want. Like I said, yes, with my mouth, I decided to be the coach, but my heart was just not there.
Right.
And I went to this place every day for about 2 months, and I was kind of miserable. And one day I was in prayer, and I was just, you know, seeking God for peace. And he told me, he said, listen, you know, you got to surrender. Like you told me, yes, that you would, you know, perform my will in this area for your life, but you haven't really given your heart to it. And when I realized that, you know, God kind of just gave me a heart transplant, and he changed my perspective on it. To make a long story short, you know, I went through that year, and we had a tremendous, amazing year, you know, went 12-2, won the school's first state championship in the, you know, the history of the school for 34 years of existence. Like all of this great stuff started happening. The program took off, and over 7 years, like we saw just the hand of God in the program. And I always go back to that moment, and this is kind of a long way to answer your question. I go back to that moment because for me, that's not what I wanted. And I realized that, you know, as scripture says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So I stopped kind of planning. I stopped kind of saying, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to, you know, just making plans for myself. And I really wanted to stay open to God's will. And a part of that is just having an ear to hear, you know, silencing our hearts so we can receive what he's saying to us. And so that's kind of the approach I've taken now. Like, so I always go back to God and I'm like, okay, God, you know, is this a green light in this area? Is it a red light? You know, sometimes I might feel a yellow light where God is cautioning me to kind of slow down and, you know, stay attentive and listen to his voice. But as long as he doesn't give me a red light, I know I just got to keep going. And interestingly enough, I resigned from coaching in February of this year.
Right.
And when the season ended last year, I felt an extreme yellow light, like God was just saying, kind of slow down and listen to me. And I spent the entire month of January, the school that I worked at, they were kind enough to give me that time. And I prayed every day, you know, I fasted, I spent time in consecration and seeking God and just saying, God, what are you saying to me? You know, do I move forward? Do I not? Red light, green light, what's next? And,
right.
And I distinctly, you know, felt, you know, a red light. He's saying, okay, this time is over. And the crazy thing about it was, like, it wasn't like he, you know, there was a red light and he said, okay, make a right turn here. He didn't really tell me where to go.
Right.
Right. There was no other door open.
This is over. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, that's an area that, you know, us as believers, I think is very important that we're led by God. And at all times we're seeking him for direction and, you know, what he wants us to do and where he wants us to go. And, you know, sometimes that will coincide with our aspirations or plans that we have for ourselves. So not always easy, and I'm still learning.
Well, you know, though, you make a good point, and one of the things we try to do here on the show is give people skills, like to be able to do these things for themselves. And so you mentioned some very specific things. You prayed, you were still, you fasted. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are all things that, you know, obviously, you're doing them because it's prepping you to help you make your decision, because it's allowing right. you to get closer to God. And I think a lot of people today, they want to know what God wants them to do without following, I guess you would call, for lack of better words, a protocol as to how to get to know or hear God's voice.
I agree. You know, one of the things that I've even been guilty of is, you know, making a decision and then going to God and saying, God, okay, make this work.
Yeah, bless it for me, like, please. Well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, well, you didn't come to me first, so, right. You know, you opened the door, so now you keep the door open. And I'm just like, oh, crap. So, yeah, no, it's definitely, and one of the lessons that God taught me, man, ironic enough, the Word of God is just so amazing. I remember reading 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it's the introduction to us, you know, learning about Samuel and when he's serving in the temple under Eli. And, you know, the scripture talks about him, you know, going to sleep in the temple and he's hearing his name being called and right. he wakes up and he goes to Eli and he's like, hey, did you call me? He's like, no, I didn't call you. And eventually he realizes that it's the voice of God calling him. But the instructions that Eli gives Samuel were key for me. You know, he told him, he says, go back. You know, lay down, be still, and when you hear the voice this time, you know, say, Lord, I'm here, I'm listening, you know, here I am. And I never forget that, because that's kind of been my protocol now, is that whenever I feel like, you know, I need direction, or I'm just all over the place, or I got a bunch of voices, I shut them down. Like, I take time away from social media, you know, from everything. I won't listen to a lot of music. I really just go into this cubby hole with God where I can remove the distractions and hear his voice clearly. And he's been so faithful during that time, you know, but definitely it's something that I need every once in a while to get direction.
Yeah. So why do so many people, though, you know, I mean, you've been successful in pro sports, 8 years in the NFL. I mean, that's really the pinnacle, you know, of pro sports. I know that baseball has its following and basketball, but nobody rules Sunday, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on, than the NFL does. And so I've always wondered, and you obviously would have insight in this, why do so many people who are successful in pro sports struggle as soon as their careers are over? I mean, we hear about it all the time, whether it's financial, whether, you know, it's alcohol, it's drugs, it's just, there's so many different things that seem to attack them once their pro career ends. Why do you think that is?
No, it's a difficult transition, and again, being fully transparent, you know, it wasn't easy for me. The truth of the matter is that not everyone has a, you know, 20-year career like a guy like Brett Favre, and they get to walk away when they want to and come back if they want to and
right.
decide to leave again. Like, it doesn't end like that for everyone. You know, for a lot of us, it ends prematurely, at least in our minds. And for myself, you know, my career ended when I wasn't ready for it to end. I still felt healthy. I felt like I could play. I wanted to play longer. I hadn't really achieved the level of success that I was aspiring to in my career. And one day it was just over. You know, it was just like someone, you know, basically just imagine something you love and all of a sudden you wake up one day and they say, okay, we're done with that.
Wow.
And you just have to adapt to that change. And it was really like experiencing a death. I mean, I had played football for 18 years straight since I was, you know, 12 years old.
That's
nuts. And then all of a sudden I had to redefine who I was as a person. And unfortunately, you know, you really don't try to, you know, have your identity wrapped up in that, but it's unfortunate that it just becomes a part of who you are. You become used to the lifestyle, you become used to the schedule, you become used to the system of what it offers, and it was just gone. And you know, so for me, praise God, I didn't revert to, you know, drugs or some type of dependency to try to get me through it. But I definitely did go through a depression. You know, I had to just try to figure out life, and without the strength of my family, the support and the backing of my faith in Christ, and just knowing that he had a bigger purpose for my life, because he constantly, you know, would let me know, like, this is not who you are. This is just something that you did. Mm. And, you know, it was just a part of the plan that I have for you. Actually, this is going to be a catalyst that's going to give you a level of influence and allow your voice to be heard so that you can do a bigger work for me. I didn't understand that. You know, I was trying to figure out, you know, what was in it for me and what was next for me. But God was saying, you know, no, I'm going to use this as a springboard, you know, for the call that I have on your life. And so it's difficult, man. I don't know one guy, you know, I'm going to be totally honest. I don't know one single guy that's walked away from, you know, a professional sport and just been, you know, totally okay. I mean, I guess I do know some guys that their transition was smoother. You know, some things were a little more settled. But every single person psychologically has to adapt.
Sure.
And everything is just amplified. You know what I mean? Your family life, all of these things, like, it changes for everyone. And so it's a large adaptation process that has to take place. And it's just not easy.
Yeah, well, I can imagine, you know, James and I teach PE, and so we have to form teams all the time. And I'm sure that if we had a Vernon Fox at our middle school, he'd be the guy everybody wants on their team. And so for 18 years,
yeah,
it would be tough to know that you're the guy that everybody wants on your team. And then, yep, one day you wake up, and not only are you not picked last, nobody picked you anymore, and they don't want you on your team.
Right.
So, yeah, that's got to be a real, real humbling thing. And thank, you know, praise God at 22 that you learned, you know, that it wasn't about you.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, no, that all came back to really help me, you know, for God to just really continue to develop inside of me what he was doing. You know, one of the things that God said to me, and I'll never forget this, I was driving down the street, and this was after my career had ended. It was early on. I think I was actually still training. So it was within that year when I, you know, had my last contract and I was training and trying to get back in the league. And I remember driving down the street, and I pray in a car. I'm one of those guys. Two places that I like really hear God is crazy. Three places: the gym, the car, and the shower. It's crazy, but those are like my places with God. And I was in the car driving, and I'll never forget God, you know, literally impressed upon my heart. He says, stop being so focused on what I'm giving to you as opposed to what I'm doing in you. And I've just never forgotten that, because, you know, I used to have this focus all the time on just, like, you know, what's next. I'm just like a results-based type person. Like, mm-hmm, you know, you work hard, you see the results. Like, you know, you plant a seed, you see the harvest. Like, I'm just that way. And God, you know, just told me to start focusing more on the process. You know, mm-hmm, stop looking at the results and just focus on the process. And even now, even as a minister, as a speaker, you know, as a life coach, like, my focus has shifted. You know, I want to be effective as opposed to just, you know, being impressive, like, or just trying to get the result. Like, it's more about doing the work and letting the result be handled by God.
Awesome.
Yeah, as Dave mentioned, we're both PE teachers, and so we know, we work with, you know, middle school kids, so we know how important it is, you know, family is, you know, investing time in our youth. And we know that that's important to you, not only as a coach, but, you know, as a man of Christ. What advice can you give our parents who are struggling maybe with their, you know, connecting with their kids? I mean, you know, I just saw your daughter on Instagram the other day, you know, talking about her program and how connected she is. And it was just amazing to see in a young child. So
yeah, that was cool.
What advice could you give to our parents who are trying to make that connection and really focus on their relationship with their children?
You know, honestly, the quarantine was really like a blessing in disguise for me as a parent. And honestly, that was part of the reason when I decided to resign. Like, I want to be an entrepreneur because I feel like it'll give me an opportunity to have a little more freedom, you know, to create my own schedule and to be intentional about scheduling time for my family and my children. And sometimes you get so involved. And I'm one of those people, like, my wife tells me all the time, like, I just have like a one-track mind. Like, I get blinders on. So when I got a goal in mind, it's like I block out everything else and I'm going to stay on that path until I get it done. But other things around me kind of lack. And so that's kind of been one of the areas I've been praying for God to help me, is just to regain some balance. And the quarantine really just kind of changed some things, because it caused me to slow down intentionally, you know, to start creating a schedule and to start listening to my kids, to start, you know, setting aside time to talk with them. And, you know, my wife had this splendid idea of, you know, our kids, they have devotion books and different things and, you know, times that we pray together. And one of the things she started telling them to do is, okay, when you read your devotion, come to us and then kind of just debrief us on what you read. Mm. And that was one of the most awesome things, because we started to hear their hearts and like how they were processing and receiving, you know, what God was exposing them to. And then that just opened the door for larger conversations where, you know, I tell them, well, just if you got questions, ask me, or if there's something, you know, that you want to know about the Bible, let's go look it up together. And just being intentional, you know, if I could give any advice, you know, really just be intentional. One of the mistakes that I've often made is that, I hear my kids, but I don't always listen.
Right.
And so, you know, they'll be talking to me and they're saying, and then they ask a question. They're like, right, Dad? And I'm like, say that again. And that just lets me know I'm not even, you know, I'm hearing them, but I'm just not listening.
Right.
And so I think when you can really like set aside time where, you know, sometimes that means, and this is not easy for me, you know, sitting the computer down, putting the phone away and just really listening to them and sharing with them and spending that time, it goes a long way. Like, you know, my kids have really, we've just had some really special moments over the last 4 or 5 months. And part of that was just because life slowed down, and sometimes we have to make it slow down.
Right. You know, talking about, you know, messages to our folks as we kind of come in for a landing here this morning, you know, this has been definitely a great, great discussion. I mean, I've learned some stuff and I know some things, and now that I got to go back and do, especially with prayer and fasting. But, you know, is there anything as we close here this morning that, you know, is on your heart that you would like to just share with people and just say, man, this is what we need to do. You know, Christians unite, this is what we need to do, or just some sort of message of hope that you got on your heart.
You know, one of the scriptures that's really, really carried me for a long time, and it's funny, it almost kind of became my recipe or my system for ridding myself of complaining, because, you know, I can be that guy, you know, where I'm just complaining. But there's a scripture, and I like the NIV version of it. It's Romans 12:12, and it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And if we can apply that, you know, that three-part system, it rids us of so much heartache. You know, just being joyful, because joy is a choice.
Right.
And, you know, we don't have to allow life circumstances and what we're exposed to or what maybe we're not exposed to dictate to us, you know, our emotional status. And so we can choose joy. And when you are joyful, in hope, which to me is it's connected with faith. You know, that's what scripture says. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and we can remain in hope, you know, when we remain in faith. And so being joyful in hope and then patient in affliction, Patience is a virtue that I'll just be honest, I struggle with. You know, I'm not good at being patient. I want things to happen. And but when you're patient through your trials and your rough times and just trusting God through that process, you know, it helps us so much. And then lastly, just remaining faithful in prayer and just staying, you know, on your knees and staying on your face before God and seeking Him for the answers. You know, I'm one of those people that I try to cognitively reason and figure things out and make everything make sense, and it just doesn't. You know, I've learned that our ways are not, you know, God's ways, nor our thoughts His thoughts. And so the more that I can just remain faithful in prayer and staying before God and trusting Him through the process of, you know, whatever season of life that He has me going through, it just really helps me. And so, you know, Romans 12:12, man, it's a staple, and I think it can help anybody if we apply it.
Absolutely. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, some of those things in my head as you were speaking. And so listeners today, I mean, you know, we often think when we look at professional athletes that, man, they just make everything look easy. But we don't realize the amount of work that goes in, you know, behind the scenes to make those things happen. And not only that, you know, being a Christian, we've got to be willing to put the time in too. And I think that's really what I got out of you today, was that no matter what, we have to put in the time. And if it's reading the Bible, we got to read the Bible. If it's prayer, we got to pray, you know, fasting, all these things we got to do to hear God's voice. And so, I hear you loud and clear, Vernon.
Amen. Well, no, I really appreciate this opportunity. And, you know, I think the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And sometimes just to hear yourself recite the word audibly, you know, it just increases your faith. And that even happened for me today. You know, to be honest, I'm kind of in a space right now where, you know, I'm out on the water. You know, we're a long ways away from February, and I'm still figuring it out. So,
well, when you get the answer,
right?
Yeah, make sure you share, because we're all still trying to figure it out too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Different
Amen.
Times for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I could say, but I'm. You know, we always like to say this, but this has been fantastic, and I mean that in the bottom of my heart, because, you know, like I say, learning, if you're willing to sit and listen and learn and humble yourself, you can go a long way. And so we just want to say thanks, bud, because this is going to take us a long way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Amen.
For sure.
I thank you guys so much. You guys are an encouragement, and I pray God's continued blessings on your endeavors and this in particular.
Well, thank you, sir. And for listeners, we'll go ahead and link information to Vernon so you can reach out to him. And we don't want to inundate him, but we certainly want to let him know that we care. And we're going to be in prayer for his ministry as well. And so, like we always like to say, thanks you for joining us today. Have a great day, and God bless.
We appreciate you joining us on this episode of Exercising Your Faith, but your faith workout doesn't stop here. Be sure to head to eyfpodcast.com for more information and resources on today's episode by signing up for our mailing list to receive messages of hope and faith to keep you moving forward with purpose in God's plan. That's available on eyfpodcast.com. Until next time, God bless.